listening to Real World News.
Interview with Chandrika Sharma, Investment Displays Coastal Communities. Chandrika Sharma is the Executive Secretary of the International Collective in Support of Fisher Workers. She has participated as civil society representative in the final talks on the guidelines on land tenure and the use of other natural resources in Rome, Italy. She believes that the approval of a set of safeguards on peasants and farmers' rights in the framework of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, is essential to be able to tackle the different threats faced by them. The increasing prices of land as well as the massive investments in coastal lands are a strong pressure on the fisher folk and small fisher workers who need a set of legal and political tools to protect their right to food, food sovereignty and food security for their communities. In the interview with Real World Radio, Chandrika Sharma said that on the fourth day of the negotiations, they discussed how to include community rights to their ancestral land and fishing areas. Our land tenure rights are being threatened by big economic interests everywhere. The talks have been intense, we have been successful in some areas but not so much in others. She feels the need to protect common goods recognized under the guidance is key because of its effect on the lives of millions of people, pastoralists and fisher workers. The government and civil society delegates began deliberating on Thursday afternoon on two of the most important chapters, the one on large agriculture investments and food markets. The organizations say a positive result of this round of negotiations has been the growing involvement of African countries in the discussions, while the government of Argentina, Ecuador, Peru and Brazil made a clear emphasis on the need to strengthen the role of national states in regulating food production and land tenure. Meanwhile, Canada, which has the largest amount of mining investment in Latin America and the world, has attempted to delay all aspects of the discussion related with specific commitments from the states affecting Canadian corporations, both within and outside borders.
I'm Chandrika Sharma. I'm from India. I work for an organization called the International Collective in Support of Fish Workers.
So, what, in your opinion, which are the main achievements till now for these negotiations?
Well, these guidelines are very important because we hope that they will recognize the rights of small-scale food producers, be they farmers, fisher people, pastoralists, and any other small food producers whose rights, tenure rights, today are being threatened due to so many developments that are much larger and very, very driven by much larger interests. And so we see these guidelines as a way to try and at least protect the food producers of the world, because they are really what contribute to food security. So it is essential that we need some safeguards to protect their livelihoods and their interests. Yeah, the negotiations have been quite intense here. There have been some achievements. There have been some things we have not been able to achieve. To some extent, there is a much greater recognition of various issues that we were trying to sort of get better support for. For example, from the fisheries point of view, it's for us the recognition of commons, the need to protect commonly used, collectively managed areas is very essential. It's also essential for other, like pastoralists and forest dwellers and so on, because these are all commonly used and managed resources. So one of the expectations we did have was to get better recognition and protection of the commons as spaces which can be used and as spaces that actually support millions of people around the world. So to some extent, I think there has been a recognition, and we are still hoping that one or two countries who express some reservations accept the importance of the commons and of recognizing and protecting the commons, and we hope to see that maybe towards the end of today.
Okay. In India, how does the land grabbing and water grabbing expresses, in which give us some examples of that in your country.
Well, I can speak to you from a fisheries perspective and a fishing community perspective. Now, it's not only in India but throughout the world, fishing communities who've been living off the sea are living on the coasts. And today, as you know, the coasts are the most contested territories. Everybody wants to be on the coast. You want tourist resorts want to be on the coast. Big industry wants to be on the coast. Ports and harbors want to be on the coast. The coasts are basically seen as the new frontiers for development, for economic objectives, to achieve economic objectives. Similarly, you find that the rivers and the seas are being targeted. On the sea, you have throughout the world this whole issue of oil and gas exploration. You have wind farms coming up. You have marine protected areas coming up. All these are large sort of enclosures, in a sense, of marine space. And all these enclosures do not take into account the interests of people who have lived off that sea or coastal area for generations. They've been there hundreds of years. But many of these enclosures and takeovers of these resources are happening at a very, very rapid pace, and displacing and denying livelihoods to millions of people. So there is a huge challenge both on coastal lands and on waters due to so-called economic development, which in effect is actually denying the rights of traditional communities to their livelihoods, and of course denying them the opportunity to actually contribute in a better way to food security, because they are the ones who actually provide the food, and they are the employment and the whole sort of spin-offs of that activity are enormous and need to be recognized.
Okay. Are there foreign investments in coast land and in general in lands in India, and which, from which country?
Well, there are investments. There are all kinds of companies. Some are Indian companies, but some are multinational companies. So it's both Indian and multinational capital which is taking over a lot of the lands and spaces, and yeah.
And which is the, let's say, symbolic and importance to be for fisher harvesters and little peasants to be discussing face to face with, for example, the EU and the United States and China, for example.
Oh, it's very important that small-scale producers are themselves able to participate in these negotiations and bring a touch of reality into these negotiations, because often they are far removed from real people's lives and concerns. So I think the fact that there are people from social movements here who can directly raise their issues and to sort of throw a perspective on the discussions is absolutely critical. It's a kind of negotiation which will happen every time any other instrument like this is negotiated, whether through the FAO or anywhere else.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to Real World News.